Should there?
Yep, no, just add.
I didn't know if there, if a light would, the red light would come on or not. Okay. And it's just good, the speakers in the back of the room?
Yep.
Okay. I think everybody's here and we're all ready to get going. Thank you, everybody, for coming to the February 7th meeting of the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired Board of Commissioners. See if I can remember what all these are, the little announcements I have to make at the beginning here. We do have, I believe, placed, are they at the back of the room or are they up here? The agendas and open meeting policies. And so we have agendas up front here if anybody, on the back table, if nobody, if you haven't gotten one yet, they are back there in both Braille and print. There's a copy of the Nebraska Open Meeting Act back there in Braille and print. And public comments. During the agenda, which we'll go over here in just a minute, Robert Newman will read that for us. There'll be some times where we will welcome public comment. You'll be free to talk about whatever you would, whatever you have questions about. It doesn't have to be about something we've covered already. During that time, when it's time for public comment, I will ask for names of people who would like to speak. At that time, we ask that you, we'll see how it goes. We'd ask that you stand up and come to the front of the room and we'll give you a microphone one at a time and be recognized. Once we get through those people, if there are others that would like to speak, we'll continue the list. What's that? Oh, yeah. Thank you. The meeting is being recorded. It will be available on our website, I believe, a week or two after the meeting, along with the minutes of the meeting will be up there shortly thereafter as well. So if you'd like to refer back to those at a later time, you can. If you're not able to hear us, this is great. I can actually hear the speaker all the way up here, and it's in the back of the room. So hopefully everybody can hear all right. If you can't, please speak up and let us know. We'll see if there's something that we can do about it. Go ahead. Did you have problems hearing? Oh, okay.
Somebody just came in.
Other than that, I believe the only other thing is we wanted, we'll let Kathy tell us where the meeting was publicized, and then we will continue on with introductions. Yeah. Should just let you pass it around.
Okay. The notice of the meeting was published in the Lincoln Journal Star, on the state government calendar, and CBBI website, NFB Newsline, Radio Talking Book, and the notice was sent to ACB and NFB presidents, and it was sent out on the NCBBI listserv.
Yeah, just give it to Jim. Set up a reach across Becky. I'm just pass back to her, please. Okay, so we'll go ahead and do introductions real quick, and then we'll move on to the reading of the agenda. My name is Mike Hansen. I'm the National Federation of the Blind designee on the board, as well as the chairman. Julie?
Julie Johnson from York, Nebraska. I'm a commissioner.
Thank you. Robert Newman. I live in Omaha.
I'm sorry.
Becky Regan.
Sioux City.
South Sioux City.
So you got to get the South.
Becky Regan, South Sioux City.
Oh, thank you.
Jimmy Rock, and I represent the interests of the American Council of Black Nebraska and of Omaha.
Pass to him.
Kathy Stevens, administrative assistant, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Hubert Paulson from Lincoln, doing the recording.
Pearl Van Zandt, executive director, Lincoln. And I'll walk around with Mike.
Thank you.
I'm Zach, and I'm from Lincoln, a member of the National Federation of Black Nebraska Lincoln chapter.
Zach, what's your last name?
Yeah.
Your last name?
Oh, yeah. First and last name, too, please.
Zach Hay.
John Sailors. I'm a member of the Nebraska Federation of the Blind and the Nebraska Association of Blind Students.
I guess we'll work our way back and then down.
Mark Bulger, American Council of the Blind, Omaha.
Bonnie Weiland, American Council for the Blind, Omaha. Gives me a chance to walk.
Terry Brinfoter, American Council of the Blind, Lincoln Chapter President.
Sharon Brinfoter, American Council of the Blind, Lincoln Chapter.
Tammy Freitag, NFB Lincoln Chapter.
Carol Jenkins, Supervisor of the Nebraska Center for the Blind.
Kendra Slavin, President of Omaha Council of the Blind.
Allie Lashonsky, NFB member of Nebraska.
Gail Crow, currently a center student. Haven't joined NFB of Nebraska yet, but I will be doing so.
Connie Daly, Lincoln District Supervisor.
Katie Regan, NFB, Lincoln Chapter, Nebraska Association of Blind Students.
Karen Anderson, I live in Lincoln, board member of the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska.
David Shapiro, 20th Century Lions Club in Lincoln, Nebraska.
This is Carol Jibalisco, Omaha, Nebraska, American Council of the Blind.
Barbara Epworth, and I'm from Omaha, and I represent the ACB, the American Council of the Blind, or the OC.
Wes Majerus, Technology Program Manager, Lincoln.
I'm Nancy Altman from Hastings, Nebraska, and I belong to the Senior Division of the NFB.
Bob Eaton, Deputy Director.
Carlos Servan, Deputy Director for Client Services.
And there are a couple of people still coming. When they arrive, we can let them introduce themselves.
Okay. I was just going to say that it's very exciting that we're so well attended today. I appreciate everybody coming, and here's someone else.
The late Jeff Altman.
I knew we'd get rid of you some way, Jeff.
We're sorry for your loss.
That's what happens when you depend on an 18-year-old to get you somewhere. In any case, with the National Federation of the Blind. Thank you.
Breakfast is over with, too.
See, recordings and such, lunch arrangements, okay.
Yep. So the last thing I have here on my list is to talk about lunch arrangements. And this, for the first time that I can recall, this is an easy topic. We will not be having lunch today. Somehow we managed to arrange the schedule today that we will be adjourning. We have down here at 12:35. I'm going to say we're out of here at 12:20. We'll see what actually happens. Nonetheless, lunch will be on your own today. So, Robert, would you be able to read the agenda for us?
Sure enough. Maybe so. Okay. All right. 9 o'clock. Call to order. Welcome and introductions. Announcement concerning public comments. Here. Oh, yeah. Meeting Act. Yeah, Open Meeting Act Proof of Publication. Recordings. Lunch arrangements. And of course, I skipped over reading the agenda. Then we have lunch arrangements and other logistics.
Check, check, check.
Yeah. 9:10. Approval of November 1st minutes. 9:15. Let's see. Focus topic, WIOA. Reorganization and... I should almost read the one I was reading at home because this new one is kind of hard. Okay, impacts to... service delivery. Then at, I think I will get this on. Reading well for me.
Yeah, to be fair, Robert's pulling it out. The Braille agenda that he's reading is written in the new UEB Braille.
Okay.
A little bit of a struggle, but I have faith in him that he'll get it.
I don't usually read out loud either. All right, so I said approval of November 1st meeting minutes. Okay, then we got down there, focus topic, WIOA. I still haven't met her. Reorganization.
Sound like a radio station, doesn't it?
That's good. All right. So now we got down here to 10 o'clock. Public comments, 10:15. Oh, commissioners' report, 10:25. Report from the executive director at 10:45. Break at 11 o'clock. Budget and biennium update at 11:10. NFB Newsline update. 11:15. Client Assistance Program, CAP, complaints or issues. 11:20. Nebraska Business Enterprise. That's NBE update. 11:30. Written report from Dr. Nancy Stelter. So, Michael, this person that you're reading right now doesn't have that new little item that you mentioned.
That's right.
The dots are much easier to read. All right. So then, a new business here. 11:35 is 2016 state plan status report. Then at 12 o'clock, public comment. And then at 12:20, this is where you think we'll be done, announcements about next meeting. And at 12:35, adjournment.
So what was the item that you...
So the one item that wasn't on the version of the agenda that Robert was reading, was right before the last public comment period. There is a review of tasks for the May annual review of the executive director. So that'll be very brief. There's 10 minutes allotted for it. I think it'll take 3 or 4. But all right. So the next thing on the agenda is the approval for the November 1st meeting minutes. All of the commissioners have received copies of those. The draft minutes are already available on our website. The Board of Commissioners have reviewed them and supplied comments and changes and so on to make sure they're accurate. And so we're ready for a roll call vote to get those entered into the record officially. So, Jim.
We need the motion to do that first.
Oh, yes.
I will make that motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. Jim's made the motion to approve the November 1st 2014 meeting minutes as amended. And Becky Reakin has seconded that. So now we'll call for the roll call vote. Thank you, Jim. Go ahead.
Yes.
Becky?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Julie?
Yes.
And I say yes. Okay. So moving on, we are to the focus topic for this time of WIOA. And so I will turn the microphone over to Dr. Van Zandt.
All right. Thank you very much.
Is that on the AM or FM side? I'm kidding.
I think that's the AM side. It starts with a W.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act is the new act which has amended the Workforce Act as well as the Rehabilitation Act, which is the law that we work under. I like to say WIOA. We always, before this version, it was Workforce Innovation Act, and that was WIA. So I use WIOA. Some people say WIOA. But there's nothing out yet as far as the official version of everything, and so I guess we'll find out what the official people, the folks who use it all the time, call it. But we'll say WIOA. All right. I did send materials to the board for your consideration, but I'll just highlight a couple of those things for the public here. The WIOA was enacted July 22, 2004. Its focus is to provide opportunities to advance a customer-centered workforce investment system driven by the needs of job seekers and employers to support strong regional economies and to provide individuals with pathways to the middle class and beyond. It has four core players or core programs also that relates to the sections of the WIOA Act. Title I is Workforce Development Activities. Title II is Education and Literacy. Title III, Wagner-Peiser, which is the Employment or Unemployment Program. And Title IV is the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 as amended. So most of the provisions go into effect July 1 of 2015. That's coming right up here. The state unified plan, which is one of the requirements, is due in March of 2016. So those are some of the key points. There's a lot of information out from Rehab Services Administration, that's RSA, Department of Labor, Employment and Training, well, ETA, the is a key entity within Department of Labor, Employment and Training Administration. They're putting on a lot of webinars that we've been attending already, and some of the national meetings like Council of State Agencies for Voc Rehab and National Council of State Agencies for the Blind. They're, everybody's looking at WIOA, what does it mean, how will we do it, how is it all going to work. One thing, a big change already, is that regulations were supposed to have been available in January of 2015. And about mid-January, someone figured out we're not going to get these done by January of 2015. So now they're projecting spring of 2015. As I said, implementation is required July 1. So everybody who has to implement the new law is hoping that the regulations will be available, because that makes a big difference in how we implement the act. So now I want to talk a little bit about the changes to the Rehab Act. That's, of course, the part that impacts our agency most critically. We do participate in the workforce activities and are very involved to that extent, but the specific services we deliver are mostly in Title IV of WIOA. So those are the changes that I'd like to tell you about more. First is increased services to youth with disabilities. There's a significant emphasis in WIOA to provide services to youth with disabilities. They emphasize more opportunities to practice and improve workplace skills, consider career interests, and to get real-world work experience. Sounds a little bit like wages to me, our program that we've been doing for some years, but certainly enhancing that, increasing those opportunities. Next is it requires the state voc rehab agencies to make, quote, pre-employment transition services, and they like to call those PETs. We'll be making PETs available to all students with disabilities.
There you go.
Yeah. Then, and actually that's an area where there's a lot of confusion and misunderstanding that will hopefully be clarified with the regulations, and hopefully in a way that really does make sense and is consistent with what Congress had in mind with the law and their intent with the law. I'll get into that a little bit more in a bit. Then in line with this, it requires us, the state VR agencies, to set aside at least 15% of their federal VR program funds to provide PETs. And those are to help make transition from secondary school to post-secondary education programs and competitive integrated employment, which is a big emphasis. Bill did the numbers, did the math, and the amount that would be for our agency is just under $417,000 would be the PETS services. Then the next is allowing a prioritizing of services to students with disabilities. Some agencies which are under order of selection, that means they can't serve everybody, they have a waiting list, they're really concerned about how that's going to impact their waiting lists. We don't have that, so that's not as much of a problem for us. It also allows us to support advanced training in STEM and other technical professions, that's science, technology, English and math, engineering and math is STEM careers. So allowing us to support advanced training for those, that's a really positive change. Then dedicating half of the federal supported employment program funds to youth. Now, our supported employment is only $30,000 a year, and it's fully federal. It does not require any match. That means 15% of that will now have to be spent on youth. And, of course, it's such a small amount. Sometimes we spend all of it on youth. It just depends each year which clients really are candidates for supported employment. So that'll be interesting to see. I guess the other part of it is that supported employment, the program, is within the Voc Rehab grant. So it is part of that. And so if they, let's say we've spent our $15,000 or more on youth for supported employment, and then we have four more adults who are older adults that are needing it, then we can just, we still can serve them, but under the Voc Rehab program. Mike, did you?
Yeah, I had a quick question for you. Quick question. In the past, before WIOA, I know that we obviously had budgets, we had grants, our expenses for independent living had to stay within that grant, our expenses for Voc Rehab had to stay. And then within those, there were a few limitations. You know, we could only spend so much on our administrative costs. There might have been one or two other. It seems like there are a lot more requirements now than there were before. Am I catching on to that right? With these where we have to spend 15% or whatever, we've never had requirements like that before in the past.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. Right, and the word might be mandate. And in fact, unfunded mandate, because they're not giving extra money to do all these services for youth. Or extra funds for supported employment. Okay, then the next aspect of it is supporting employer engagement. And earlier when I read about customer-centered, the customer is not just the people with disabilities whom we serve. The customer is very much those folks, yes, and employers, businesses. And so engaging with employers is a big emphasis. It contributes to economic growth and business expansion and can help match employers with our skilled candidates for jobs. That actually is another thing that we've already been really focusing and emphasizing, especially in the Lincoln and Omaha areas. Our agency has been very much involved with business networking, employers, businesses, getting to know who they are, helping them to know who we are, and so that has been a really positive thing. WIOA puts a very strong emphasis on this across all the programs. There are also increased opportunities to assist employers in providing work-based learning experiences for people with disabilities, apprenticeships, internships. We really won't know how that will work until regulations come out. And then that the state agencies will describe in their state plans how they will work with employers to identify competitive integrated employment opportunities, which again is a major emphasis. A lot of that is very much in line with our approach, our philosophy, how we've done things, and so depending on what the regs do, should enable us to continue in a pretty seamless way. So then, let's see if there's a couple more things about achieving competitive employment. That's a key emphasis. And it can be through supported employment, customized employment, and other individualized services. Here's the thing that's new. We've always been able to do job retention to help individuals who are working but are losing vision to retain their jobs. WIOA says the VR state plan must ensure that priority is given to individuals otherwise eligible for VR services and who are at imminent risk of losing their jobs unless they receive VR post-employment services. So we do that also already, not as much. I mean, we don't necessarily go seek folks out, but we do post-employment, or not necessarily post-employment, but we do open people up who are working, and it's a job retention issue. And then at the national level, there has been an advisory committee formed on increasing competitive integrated employment. And so that's required to meet a couple of times a year and kind of have that national scope about the whole thing. Accountability, this is going to be interesting to see what regs do with this. Mainly our accountability has been the standards and indicators that relate to how many people that we serve get jobs, how many people get more income, go off of benefits, and those kinds of things. The WIOA talks about a stronger emphasis on common employment outcome measures across the four WIOA programs, including Voc Rehab. We've always been a little bit different than Workforce, because that emphasis, there is training in workforce work, but a lot of it is getting people into jobs as quickly as possible, where especially with Rehabilitation for the Blind, there's a lot of training that's involved first, education, technology, training, then, you know, working toward that really good job. So the common measures is something that we will really want to watch. And that'll include 6 primary indicators of performance for adults and 6 for youth. And then the outcome measures, the idea of WIOA is that it'll help policymakers make better judgment about effectiveness. And so let's see. I already talked about those things. Training and technical assistance is another interesting piece. We don't know how it will, well, it adds, or it requires a 1.8 to 2% set aside in the older blind program. It's no extra money, but it's a requirement to spend at least that amount on training, which I don't think that'll be a problem for us. We do put quite a bit of focus on training for staff, but it's just interesting that that's there. There are some changes in a couple of programs. A new administration has been set up at the federal level in the Department of Education called ACL, or Administration for Community Living. I misspoke. That has not been set up in education. That is now in Health and Human Services. So Administration for Community Living is in HHS, and that entity at the federal level will administer the IL Part B program and some other things, but that we don't do. But Part B is our independent living program for adults that are under age 55. It's always been quite a small grant, but the Rehab Services Administration will no longer operate Part B. However, the governor of each state will be deciding, along with his Workforce Investment Opportunity Board, how to administer it within the state. So it's still possible that IL will stay with this agency, and that we would just draw funds down from Health and Human Services instead of Department of Education, It's also very possible that if the IL funds will completely go away from our agency and be administered by somebody else. But those are total unknowns. Let's see, and then older blind services, that is part of independent living, but that will stay with the VR agencies, namely us. Then there are a couple programs that are completely repealed. One that does affect us is in-service training. We used to get about $21,000 a year, between $20,000 and $22,000 a year for in-service training for staff. We always have spent far more than that investing in our staff being able to stay really up with everything. But that will go away. There won't be that funding. Then there are three other parts that are repealed that we don't work with. And so there's a lot of information. I'll try not to go into what doesn't cover us. Years ago, I was on the Workforce Investment Board for a long time, appointed by the governor. Several years ago, it was decided they really need to make that board smaller. And so they allowed me to go away, and I was no longer on that board. But people can attend the Workforce Board meetings, and we still have had a presence in those three workforce areas, Greater Omaha, Greater Lincoln, and Greater Nebraska, which is everything else. They call those local boards. So we have involvement with all of those boards. And I did start attending the Workforce Board again. I went to the WEA board in January, and then I intend to, even if I'm not appointed, I intend to attend the WEOA. A new board will be appointed by the governor, and that is supposed to happen in March or April of this year. So I'm going to be attending so that I can stay up with what Workforce is doing and make sure we're on top of things. That's probably a good stopping point, and I'd be glad to talk further on any part, take comments, questions.
Did you have a question?
No.
I did have one question for you, Dr. Van Zandt. At one point in your comments that you prepared for us, you were talking about the new emphases that they were going to, that WEO was placing on services for the youth. But there would no longer be an emphasis on literacy and numeracy statistics.
Right.
And I just wonder if you could comment on that just a little bit more.
Okay. Literacy and numeracy are two measures which the workforce boards have always had as part of their requirements for programs that the employment centers, the one-stops, did with youth. And so those were measures that workforce was required to reach certain standards of. It's not something that rehab has used.
Okay.
Specifically.
Okay.
It was a surprise in the workforce, the WEA board in the last maybe 4 months, that it was announced that they would not be tracking those, even though there's more emphasis on youth, but we're going to stop worrying about literacy. It seemed like a conflict. It just really didn't seem to make very much sense.
Okay. that doesn't really, I mean, so even though that's a change, it's happening, again, that's probably more within other areas and not within the realm of anything that we've dealt with in the past.
Yes.
or will be, won't really affect us. It's just
yes.
kind of a statement that you had in here that was kind of an interesting outcome of the changes that are coming with WIOA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions?
No, but I did see that too, so I'm glad you asked.
Okay. I know something else that I wrote down here about this was when I was reading through the materials that you and the staff prepared, Dr. Van Zandt was just, and you mentioned it too, was kind of the delay in getting things out. I mean, there's so many changes that it's taking them a little longer than they initially had thought, and probably we all hoped to get the new rules and regulations out so that you and the staff can begin implementing any changes that need to be made. Maybe this is a topic that we're going to have to revisit again
right.
later in the year to find out what all those changes might be.
And I want to talk more about
it,
too.
I have a quick question. Okay. I guess my question is with planning, because,
mm-hmm.
We're waiting for implementing regulations, but yet, I mean, some of those, like, wages and those big programs, they take more planning. You can't start in April.
No.
So
yeah.
What's your game plan?
Yeah,
I guess that's the question.
Okay.
I guess the WIA board will presently be using the Ouija board to figure that out.
Yeah.
Down.
Right. We are on it, as a lot of people are saying these days. Bill has already begun working on setting coding up within the business system so that programs and spending expenditures that we do for youth will, as we really learn exactly what pets mean, that it'll be very seamless in terms of what is funded as a pets item and what is funded just as our other folk rehab youth work. We won't wait for regulations won't really change how we do our programs, like, some of them. Wages is definitely a VR program, and whether it fits with VR or specifically pets will change, could be different. But anyway, Bill is already working on getting that set up. We have a new grant with, we have a new program with the Abilities Fund that is helping us to help people go into self-employment, become successful in self-employment. That is in line with a lot of these changes with that emphasis on competitive, integrated employment. We also, by me, really getting involved with WIOA, are making sure that we are not just kind of off in our own little world over here at the commission. With regard to the state plan, I sent an email to all of the other agency directors of state agencies, voc rehab agencies across the country, to find out. We've always had the option for unified state plans, and some states, they include the general voc rehab agencies in those unified plans. Now it's a requirement, and so that's one thing we don't know yet, how that will impact our state plan. Anyway, so I sent a question to all the directors asking them if their agency for the blind had ever been involved with a state plan, a unified state plan. None had. There was one state that said that a couple of years ago they their effort was started to be about that, and then, but they didn't participate again or something. Anyway, so very often, most often, governors recognize the general voc rehab agency or the combined agency, which in Nebraska is in the Department of Education. That's recognized as voc rehab. The separate commissions for the blind or the separate agencies for the blind are just sort of not, they're not considered as part of or as voc rehab. They're not appointed to the boards, which the fact that I was on the workforce board for years from its onset was really quite a feat, because most states did not have representation of the blind agency on the workforce board. What will happen with WIOA, I don't know. I do know that those boards were huge because they had all these requirements of who had to be on it. Plus, they wanted, well, it had to be a majority of business. And so then you really get a big board, which actually makes it harder to get work done. I don't know what will happen with WIOA, whether we will be considered a core partner and put on the board, but Bob Deaton will be writing the next state plans and going forward, and so he's really going to be paying attention to how that all works and where we fit in the scheme of things.
Could you tell me what PX stands for, please?
Go ahead.
That the question was if I could say what something stands for. What?
Pets.
Oh, pets. Yes, pets. Yeah, I thought you said X. I couldn't hear it. So pets, pre-employment transition services. You're welcome. One thing about that is that, I mean, when we first were reading the new law and the changes, we thought, no problem. We already invest a lot of funds in youth, and we, you know what a difference it makes as people get older. So we've done that for years. As the conversation in meetings at the federal level in work with Department of Labor and Department of Education, exactly what it means is a little worrisome to some people, to some of our agencies, because there's some aspect about it that could mean it's only a very narrow part of time students out of school. And I can't call to mind exactly what the concerns are, but if the definition, the regulations become so narrow, exactly how folks are going to do that can be a problem. So we really don't know yet on that. But I still think this commission is probably in good shape because, we do try to work with youth early on and so on.
No, I'm just going to say that a lot of times rules like this that come about because there's a lot of people out there that aren't doing the right thing. So again, this commission's been doing the right things all along. So that's just a really nice thing to hear you say, and for us to realize. So that's really good.
Thank you.
Okay.
Did you?
Nope.
Michael?
Okay.
When I was looking through all the material to decide what to present it, it is a little tricky. There are continue to be webinars and conference calls and meetings, and it's just a lot of information and a lot of unknowns yet. I think I'd like to see, we have our leadership team, Carlos Urban, Bob Deaton, and Bill Brown are all here, and I'd like to see if any of them want to add something that I didn't give attention to, guys, I put them on. I didn't tell them. I was going to ask them, would any of you like to say anything? Right. I think that concludes them.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, we are a little bit. See, that's what I'm saying. We're going to get out of here at 12:20. All right. So, moving on, the next item on the agenda is our first opportunity for public comment. Is that Jim?
No, I'm fine.
If anybody has would like to speak or ask a question, now's your time to speak up. If I could, if you're interested in speaking, if you could state your name, and I'll make a list, and then we'll go in that order. Is there anyone that would like to make a comment?
Mark Bulger.
And you can just say your name if anybody else wants.
Anyone else? All right.
You. Mark, you're welcome to come to the front if you want.
Well, first of all, thank you, Board, for your service. And the opportunity to speak. When I heard this, it was the focus topic. I did my Google research to try to understand what all this meant, and obviously Dr. Van Zandt's information answered most of my questions, but as I see this new law, it's basically trying to do a collaborative effort between rehab agencies, clients, and employers. And I guess the other question would be, is there going to be any more collaboration with the other rehab services in the state that are non-blind? That'd be my first question. Because we, as blind people, we deal with multiple disabilities nowadays. And the second thing is, I see the advisory committee as being an integral part of representing the blind with the employment opportunities. I don't know how we do this, but we need to get some representation on that advisory committee to make sure that our vested interests are covered. And then that was more of a comment. And I do see that if I was to understand that how this all shakes out, I would say there's two primary goals. One is the pre-employment emphasis on the youth. And then the second is the people that are in the workforce, keeping them retained. So I see kind of a catechism. Anybody that doesn't get a job before the age of 24 is probably going to not be able to get the services that they would like in the future. And I guess that my concern would be what happens to those people that don't fall into the retention and pre-employment gap. And then the last thing I guess I'd say is, since retention of employment is a critical thing, the best job to have is one you have right now, even if you're losing your vision. Do we have the resources, the low vision resources, to help people retain their jobs as their vision continues to decline? Because some of the non-visual methods take a lot more time to learn and doesn't make retention of jobs possible. So, thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, may I?
Yeah, there's definitely two questions in there.
Okay. Okay, first of all, on the connecting with other rehabilitation programs, first of all, the commission has a memorandum of understanding, an agreement with the Vocational Rehabilitation General Agency, that anyone who is blind and has other disabilities will be served by our agency. They, of course, work with all disabilities except for blindness. But we do already work with those folks who have expertise that we don't, and with, say, other community programs that address mental health or other disabilities. Our counselors and instructors that are out around the state, you know, work with those folks quite a bit whenever there's a specific person who has multiple needs. I don't know if that's kind of what you're wondering about. But we do recognize how important that is, and I believe that we do a good job of that for the most part. The advisory committee, that's at a federal level, as you were asking about. I do have a list of the current involvement. It's representatives, 17 representatives from the following groups: self-advocates for individuals with intellectual or developmental disabilities, and some names, but like mental health, People First, providers of employment services for individuals with intellectual or developmental disabilities, and then representatives of national disability advocacy organizations for adults with intellectual or developmental disabilities, then experts with a background in academia or research and expertise in employment and wage policy, and then representatives from the employer community or national employer organizations, and then other representatives of organizations with expertise on increasing opportunities for competitive integrated employment. And Dr. Fred Schroeder, who is representing San Diego State University, is a blind guy and was in the past the United States commissioner for the Rehab Services Administration. He has been appointed by the president to this board. All the other names I didn't know, but he is one. And certainly the issues for blindness agencies and the customers we serve will definitely have a strong voice there with that. And then there are also federal officials, representatives from labor, education, and rehab, and so that's what that is made up of.
Okay.
What about the retention?
Thank you. I knew there was some. Job retention. Well, you made a comment, if I understood correctly, that maybe people above age 24 would not be able to be served. I don't think that would be the case, because yes, there's a strong emphasis on youth in general transition services, this whole new category of pre-employment transition services. But if you think about it, that is still, it's 15% required, but that still leaves a lot of the grant to provide the services we provide regardless of age and regardless of level of vision. Functional vision loss, we're going to work with a person who would like to go to work. With regard to the low vision issue, and you all know we've had that as focus topic and discussion a number of times, our folks do a lot of low vision work with people, and we continue whenever we have a chance for training or we know of a resource to provide training on low vision and all aspects of how people need to do their jobs and live in independent lives. We pretty much do that on an ongoing basis. So I don't really think this WIOA will hinder our ability to help people get jobs.
Dr. Van Zandt, one other thing that stood out in my mind when that kind of applies to this a little bit when you were making your comments, your original comments about WIOA, was when I'd asked my question about percentages, that so much money was going to be required to be spent towards youth services and so on, and you'd commented that this was a mandate, mm-hmm. and maybe an unfunded mandate. And I was thinking more about that a little bit, and that we are receiving funds from them, so in a sense that it is possibly a funded mandate, but they are going back and just telling us how they want it spent.
Correct.
And But how, as far as how that applies to us, even, you know, even though, yeah, they're telling us that, you know, we have to spend our money in this way, at least that percentage of it, since we're already doing those types of things already today, that won't have much of an impact on us as perhaps an agency that hasn't had as much emphasis on youth services in the past as we have.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure that's true.
All right. Well, Mark, thank you very much. Is there anybody else before we move on that had that wanted to take the opportunity to ask a question at this time? There'll be another opportunity here a little bit later. Hearing nobody, we'll go ahead and move on. Next item on the agenda was just the commissioner's report. I'll start off here just a little bit of some of the things I've been able to spend some time on over the last since we last met. I've long been working on improving some of the information that the commission board has access to. We typically call it our commissioner's information packet. It's this pile of thumb drives up here in front of me. But we've been compiling some more additional information so it's easily accessible and ready for the board to have available to them. I had the opportunity here a few weeks ago to meet with Dr. Steltler about her progress with the work that she's been doing for the commission, and we'll talk about that more here in a little while. And kind of a fun project, the district supervisor in Lincoln, Connie Daly, asked me to participate in a promotional video that the commission is working on. So I've had some conversations with the production group a little bit about what I do as a blind person in my career. So it'll be fun to see that process all the way through and how that works, and hopefully it'll turn out and be a helpful resource for years to come. So, anybody else have anything they'd like to talk about?
Oh, just one little thing. Yeah.
Robert?
All right. I guess we get emails that pertain to changes, good happenings that happen within the commission. And I just wanted to say about the biggest thing I think I've done in a way, because I haven't really attended any meetings, haven't really provided any training, as I have helped sometimes with programs or specific individuals. But I made some comments on some of the emails that we've been privileged to read, and they were ones that I think are really nice to say here. Is it's, you know, staff saying good things about their supervisors, you know, getting some respect and some things, you know, going that maybe they haven't filled for a while. And as well as public contacting, you know, like our receptionist and say, hey, I've got some really good things to say about some of, you know, the staff that have worked with my mother. So it's just really been great to see those kinds of things coming from the inside and from the outside, you know, about accomplishments and just good customer service, just, you know, good things going on. So I just wanted to, you know, say that here, we love getting those kinds of emails, and so it's just good job, everybody. That's all I got to say, huh?
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. All right. Moving on then, the next item on the agenda is the report from the executive director.
Okay, it has been quite the busy quarter here. One of the main things one of the things we've spent some time on is the Lincoln relocation that we've talked about possibly moving our offices here, which includes Lincoln District, the Nebraska Center for the Blind, and our administrative and business offices. We have to go through State Building Division, Administrative Services, through a very formal process. There was a bid opening mid-December, and then a whole series of events and processes, which now we are at a point where we have visited. We had four possible places to move, one of which was a brand new, well, it hasn't been built yet. It's an empty lot of new construction. The other three are this building here with LMEP, Hoppy Hall, which is on South 48th Street in Lincoln, about 48th and Old Cheney, and then what's called the, is it called Carriage Park? It's the, it's 1135 M Street downtown, right next to where the Chamber of Commerce currently is. So we visited all those places. We've talked about floor plans. We've had lots of discussions and as to what our needs and requirements are. We just had a meeting Thursday, I think, that with the officials from business, from Building Division, met with us. And so now it is down to two locations, which will be told that they have the opportunity to offer us a best and final offer. And those two locations are this location and the 1135 M Street. It's required that we decide that we issue a letter of intent to contract to a successful bidder by February 20. And then the contract award date, I guess that's the same date, contract award date is the 20th of this month. Then the date of occupancy is supposed to be no later than September 30th of this year. Now there's some wrinkles to that in that once the commission decides where we want to live, it still then it has to go through some layers with at the Building Division level and then at Administrative Services level. And so the expert that worked with us told us that there have been times where agencies decide they want to move, they believe they have the funds to do it, they're ready to go, and it's rejected at the higher level. So it's still a ways from being a done deal. But anyway, that's where we are in the process. Lots of other stuff going on.
I have a real quick question about that. So, okay. So there's the two companies that make their final offer, their whatever you called it,
best.
Okay. So, do you have to take the low one, or are you still able to choose?
Yeah.
Still able to choose. Okay.
Yeah. And it. Oh, so we just shocked each other. It's not just based on price. Of course, price is an issue. One of the things that Building Division is mandated to make sure they do is tend to the interests of the state taxpayer, which we do also. But there's a lot more than just price that's involved. Okay. Then we've been building the leadership team and working across the state in accordance with the work that Dr. Stelter did, as well as the team building that all of the I'll say work units have done, the districts, the offices, the center, and our business office. We've all been working on improving things and tending to communication, building our skills, and so on. We've been looking at database systems. There are two major ones that we're considering, and we want to make sure they'll work best for our staff to gather and track and utilize the data about our client services. That's in the work and taking a lot of time. I attended a number of different kinds of meetings. One was the Outlook Nebraska Annual Banquet in Omaha, CSAVR and NCSAB meetings. I'm on the Multicultural Advisory Committee for the Mayor of Lincoln, and we made a presentation, Larry Mackey from the Lincoln office of the commission, and I presented to the MAC about blindness, so that was really good. I've been on lots of the webinars that Department of Labor and Department of Education are putting on. Also met with Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing Director. The Nebraska Business Enterprise has had a quarterly meeting in our interim. We've got all of our federal reports were due at the end of December. We got all of those done. The annual report to the governor, which we got all done, and also found a way to submit it online to all of the senators. In the past, we sometimes have sent letters to new senators or old senators, and we tried to reach out. There's a lot of changeover in the unicameral, and they have a lot to learn. There's a lot of agencies, and with budget and the bills and everything, it's a lot. So we sent our report to every one of them, hoping that would help them get a better understanding of what we do here. We also have a newly assigned assistant attorney general because our designee retired, and he came over for a tour of the center. Also, we have a new representative in the governor's policy and research office. She came for a tour. And the reason for those tours is just really emphasizing, helping them understand what we do, why we do it, how we do it, because we're definitely different than your average bureaucracy state agency. We're working on our state staff meeting, which we will hold in the spring in Grand Island. And let's see, we've had some staff shortages, and the center and field supervisors are all working closely together to manage those shortages so that it's not a breakdown in services. We definitely want to make sure people get the services that they need. And we can travel, we can do things on the phone, we can work with people. It doesn't have to. We're trying very hard to not make people wait just because we don't have a counselor in a particular office. Made revisions to some of our forms. The single state audit was completed by the Nebraska State Auditor, and there were no findings, which that's good. A finding is something we did wrong. There were no findings this time. Let's see. Oh, we also had staff members from the South Carolina Commission for the Blind come to, a couple came for a few days to just talk, visit the center, kind of an extended tour a little bit, and learn more about how we do things. And then just a couple of weeks ago, then they sent two of their center staff, the shop instructor and the travel instructor, and those two gentlemen came and spent a whole week in our center actually with training. And we've had really good feedback from both of those. I shared one with you folks, and I got another one, I think, late last night or this morning that I'll share. So both of those men, really had good things to say. And we have other folks that are, in the works is Iowa wants to send somebody over, and Virginia, I believe, is looking at sending someone to spend some time at our center, staff-wise, that is, staff, to learn what we do and how we do what we do. Field services, and this is in our first quarter, so the federal fiscal year starts October 1, and so this is through the end of December. We served 487 voc rehab clients. 7 were closed achieving their employment goals, and 10 were closed without achieving. Either they decided they didn't want services, or we were unable to locate them. And then independent living, we've served 380 clients in that time, 90 being closed successfully, 1 transferred to voc rehab, and 16 were closed without achieving their goals. Let's see, I've mentioned our reports. We did receive another grant, a grant from the Enrichment Foundation, $10,000 for the PILBO, providing independent living to blind Omahans. So that's good. That's been a great partnership for a number of years. And working with the Abilities Fund for self-employment. And then also we're looking at creating a new position for business enterprise to be partly business enterprise, partly the business office. And so Bill and Carlos are working on that to develop that. The Center for the Blind, we have 4 current clients. Another one starts in March. We have 1 staff trainee currently, and then another one was hired and started on the job last Monday, but he spent the first week in North Platte, so he will start in the center February 9th. And we've had 1 3-day stay. Lots of folks coming through on tours. We're still doing the nursing students experience and getting really good response from that. The center staff work very hard to make all that work. And let's see, a center supervisor is going to start speaking at consumer organizations, conventions, other opportunities to help people know about the changes we were making in the center and how we're strengthening it. In the field, we're working very hard. I have to take a breath. I'm trying to get as much in as I can. We've had challenges in North Platte, especially with staffing. Both the counselors in the North Platte office resigned during the past quarter. And so we have, as I said, hired a new person named Fritz Nuffer, who I think I said his last name right, who just started, and he'll be going through training, of course. Let's see. So, question?
I'm thinking if I have one.
Okay.
Keep going.
Let me know if you do.
Has he started in Lincoln yet?
No, he starts Monday.
Monday. Okay.
Yeah. He was in North Platte this past week.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll look forward to getting him on board. Let's see. But everybody's really working hard to make up for the absence of staff, the shortage of staff. Closures, job closures in the North Platte district. Tree trimmer, arborist, maintenance and repair worker, and job retention for a Randolph Shepherd vendor.
Tree trimmer.
So, Omaha District. Let's see, we have new staff there. Tim Jefferson completed his training and is now in his position doing an excellent job with counseling, motivational interviewing, and reaching some clients that have really been struggling with what they do. We have a new person, Kim Schnitzer, who will be a counselor in Omaha. She is currently in training in the center. I don't remember when she's due to complete that. Carlos, do you know, or Carol? First Friday in April is her last day at the center.
April
3. And so once Kim gets in place, Omaha will be fully staffed, I think, Oh, bless your heart. Connie brought me coffee. Thank you. I mean, water. I needed water.
Water, there you go. That brings all water.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, let's see. Lincoln is working on an employment skills workshop that's in February. Is that right? February 19th, thank you. That should be a really good opportunity for folks. Let's see. The jobs that have found employment, this is Omaha now, Randolph Shepherd vendor, production worker, front desk clerk, security guard, industrial mechanical designer, and assisted two people maintain positions as receptionist and production worker. Okay. Let's see. Statewide, some of the staff are involved with committees that put on, like, older blind group teaching, Winterfest, PI, wages. Those are all, not wages, but the other programs, they're comprised of some of our staff from each office or each area. Let's see, what else? In Omaha, they've revamped their computer lab. That's almost done, and then they're getting bids to renovate the kitchen, which would be a wonderful thing. Then in Lincoln, they've been really busy. Their team went to Washington, Kansas to tour the dog guide school there. Others have gone to, with some administrators, to Missouri, and will soon be going to Oklahoma to test the database systems that we've got. The employment program that I mentioned a minute ago is called ESPN, Employment Skills Training Nebraska. So I love it. It's a five-day intensive program to prepare people for finding a job. Omaha found it to be really helpful, and so we're excited to do that in Lincoln as well. And working on videos that will feature blind people working in different occupations. That's what Mike mentioned. It looks like we have one featuring food services, an auto mechanic, and a network specialist. And they'll be targeted to businesses to help businesses understand that blind individuals are great candidates for their jobs. Let's see, the jobs people got from the Lincoln office or Lincoln district this quarter were an elementary teacher, a high school teacher, food service worker at McDonald's, a customer service representative, and a life coach. And then we also assisted clients to maintain employment at Apogee, that's in Columbus, UPS, and then two Randolph Shepherd vendors. In the business office, like I mentioned earlier, all of the federal reports were done, looking at all the building proposals. The case management system is a big effort that Wes and Carlos and Bill and Bob and myself have been working on, and so that's all been very interesting work and time consuming. Let's see what else. Wes's section of the report is fairly lengthy. We talked a little bit about some of that, the database system he's exploring, or we're all exploring, but with the lead of Wes Majerus. And in Lincoln, we looked at a new copy machine that has an accessibility solution. We haven't completely decided on this yet. There are a few aspects of the accessibility that Wes is still exploring, but that's looking pretty good. Yes, sir.
Just real quickly, when we were just prior to our last commission board meeting, you and I and Bill Brown and Wes Majerus attended the NITC, Nebraska Information Technology Commission meeting, and it was to answer questions to them about our proposal to move forward with the Aware product. And so maybe I'm forgetting something, but it was mentioned here that we were looking at a second product.
Yes.
So I thought that we had settled on one and had hoped to move forward with that, but now I see we're investigating a second.
Yes, thank you. I'll just tell you a little bit more about that. As we got further into the work with the one system, we ran into some snags. Some had to do with accessibility, some had to do with how well the company worked with the agencies, and kind of what the impression was from other agencies like ours who use the different systems. Mm-hmm. And so then we got to really exploring the two and comparing the two. Aware is one, Libra is the other one.
Okay.
And so the trips to Missouri and Oklahoma were and are, the Oklahoma's coming up, to really sit down, a whole team of our folks sitting down at the location that has these systems and really see what's going to work or not work.
Okay.
Yeah. And we did check with NITC. We wanted to make sure, okay, we got this big approval for a system. Is it a problem that we're looking at something else now? And the answer is, it is not a problem. Where they understand it's a project that really was approved, not the specific company to go with.
Okay.
So we're good there. We did also get a request for public records, which is, there's a certain procedure you have to do to follow public records requests. They had they wanted a period of 3 years, 3 or 4 years, and two major areas of emphasis. One was any documents between the commission and the Nebraska Information Technology Commission, the other related to accessibility of software, hardware, websites, etc. The second part of it is all requests by commission staff, consumers, or members of the public that software or other information technology be made accessible in a non-visual manner, or requests for accommodation to access technology in a non-visual manner. And so, and when you get a request like that, a formal request, you have 4 business days to gather everything up. We had it we did it all electronically, gathered all kinds of documents, emails, everything we could find on these questions for the period from 2011, January 1, 2011 to date, we got that done and sent. That's my report.
I have 2 questions.
Yes, sir. One moment.
Hold on.
All right, I will.
Thanks. All right, you had suggested that the center director, if I heard correctly out of my good ear, would be visiting consumer groups or what have you as far as promoting what the center now as it is currently functioning. Do you know, question number one is, do you know whether that will be on a local level or a state level? And then question two, excuse me, question two then relates to what you had just read in your report about the request for documentation. When that email came out, I was a little concerned about the 4-day turnaround, not realizing that was built into the request by law or by what have you. The concern I have is the short turnaround time to gather the documents, and I'm wondering if any time was taken away from serving clients to comply with the request.
Okay. First, the center supervisor will be getting to as many local and state consumer meetings and other things as she can. She'll be reaching out to all the opportunities that are out there. One thing we've thought about already is that I'm typically on the agenda of both the Nebraska ACB and NFB conferences, conventions, and so having Carol Jenkins kind of report with me, be part of that time. If either of the groups at the state level want to give her her own piece of the agenda, that would really be great. But failing that, we definitely would include Carol as part of my presentation and in our public forum with those folks. And so that's state, local, you bet. I mean, we'll try to get out to any opportunities that we would have invitation to do so. Did you want to add anything, Carol? Okay, very good. Then to the other part about the four-day requirement, that's in law. That is law. We actually were a little bit fortunate because it happened to be over a period of time that had a holiday, and so it was actually almost a full calendar week that we had from a Friday to the end of the next Thursday. As to whether the need to do that impacted services, I would say no. Most of the gathering of documents was done by Wes Majerus and myself, and we can work all kind of hours. We don't, we make sure the work gets done. I did send a note to all staff asking them to, think about and send me any documents that they might have. And a few folks sent a few emails, but mostly they all knew, most of what was out there was already either in my computer or Wes's computer. Now the law, at the same time that it requires 4 days compliance, it also allows that you can hire, if you need people to run copies or to do that work so that your work of the agency doesn't suffer, that is allowable, and you can bill the person requesting for that. But because, number one, they wanted everything in an accessible format, they didn't want a box of print, they wanted it all electronically, that we really didn't have to run, we didn't run any copies, and we put everything on one thumb drive and mailed it. So it really did not cost extra, but the law does allow that if it's going to take time of the agency and funds and materials, you can charge for that. Thank you.
I had one other quick question, and just did you guys, I know you were talking about the planning efforts have already started for the spring state staff meeting. Mm-hmm. That's going to be in Grand Island. Has there been any consideration of a date yet?
Yes. The date is April, who can say it off the top of your head? 14, 15, 16.
ACB is a 17, 18, 19.
Yes, we have the state staff meeting, then ACB convention, and the following week, immediately from Sunday on through the week, is the CSAVR and NCSAB meetings in Washington, D.C. Okay.
All right. So, break time. Right, let's see here. We are 15 minutes.
Went past time.
So, 10:50.
Oh, okay. I guess we're still good.
We're 10 minutes ahead.
All right. So we're
going to
take a break.
Yeah. We'll take a 15-minute break. If everybody could be back by 10:50,
that works.
That would be great. And we'll see you then.